She has breast cancer, and she's taken examinations, and so they're trying to figure out what's going on. But I think there's another area where they're a little bit concerned about, so she might have to take biopsy on that section as well. So, as you guys know, she's going through a lot of things with Charlotte already, and so I think she has, like, I don't know, many, many doctor's appointments every week for herself now and for Charlotte. So as a church, we're trying to figure out how we could best help her. And so we'll try to keep you guys informed as we try to figure it out. But this week, I got a chance to drop off Zachary, her son, at school. He was so cute. And maybe I'll be doing that a little bit more. But all the help you guys could give will be really appreciated. Just keep them in prayer. Second thing is, I invited one of my old members from my previous church, Grace, to come and share a little bit. Last June, two of my friends came, Grace and a guy named Nick, because they were going to go on a mission trip. And so Grace just got back from a mission trip, and she was going on another one. She was in Norway for a while. She was being trained there, and then she went to the Philippines for about 2.5 months. Share a little bit about that, and some of you guys actually contributed to her financial needs, and so very appreciative, and I thought you guys would be interested in hearing about it. The other person was Nick, and he's currently in Turkey, and he's been in Turkey for about 4 months now, and he's going to be there for about another, hopefully, 4.5 years. And they have had a lot of suicide bombings there. So he recently, I was talking to him, and I think they've had 4 attacks, terrorist attacks, in the last 3 months. And he's in Istanbul, and it's a very interesting climate, because even on Facebook, he can't really talk about it, because he's not on the visa for religious purposes. You get kicked out. But he was asking some people to pray for just what's going on. And I think the latest attack that happened a few days ago was, again, a tourist area where he was starting to get to know some people there, and a lot of people died and whatnot. And so I just wanted to ask you guys to pray for him. I'm sure his parents are very worried. He's a young guy, but he's going to be there. And so I would definitely appreciate it. But on that note, Grace, if you want to come up and just share a little bit about your experiences in Philippines this time.
Wow.
Sure. Okay. You can use that mic if you want to.
You guys can all hear me though, yeah?
I think so.
Okay. So again, my name is Grace, and Dave, thanks for having me here again. I just got back last Friday, and so I got back from the Philippines on March 2nd, and so just as I was getting over the Philippines jet lag, I came home, and I was getting over jet lag again, but yeah, Norway, it's so beautiful. It's filled with really nice people, and like people leave their babies outside when they sleep. You can leave your wallet and your phone outside, and nobody will steal it. It's pretty amazing. But anyways, I was there doing a Bible school called Bible School for the Nations, and it's basically like a 6-month course, 4 months of going intensely through the Bible, reading it in chronological order, skipping First and Second Chronicles, and we read about one book every 2 days. We would just have a lot of homework to look over the questions to review. We would focus on the main popular stories that a lot of people know, and learned how to share that when we went out to outreach. We learned how to teach the Bible, so we looked in the minor prophets and picked one of the minor prophets and got to teach our class on that. We looked in the epistles, so Paul's letters, and got to teach on that as well. We also tried to get involved with the local community there. And so I joined like a middle school sports community and played basketball, soccer, you name it, with them every Friday. The thing I'm passing on that side is something called a FELT teaching. It's biblical education for leadership training. And we learned that just before we left for the Philippines. It's for local leaders and pastors who don't have the biblical education they can receive just like we can receive here, like seminary schools. Like, they don't have a lot of that. And so we just learn the basic principles of that, and we're able to teach it at local churches or wherever that we were welcomed. And so BSN, it's to break down very simply, it's basically to become a disciple and to disciple communities and nations from a biblical perspective. And I would say that I'm still a newbie, as you would say. I'm still learning a lot about the Bible. I don't know everything, but I just, I just really want to come to God with everything and look for the Bible, look in the Bible with any of the questions that I have, and I really encourage you to do that as well. Pictures are coming around. and so, there were two locations that we were being sent out to. One of them was the Congo, and one of them was the Philippines. I don't know if you guys remember, but Southeast Asia was on my heart, and I was really praying for, like, Cambodia, Nepal, or Thailand, but Southeast Asia it was. And one of our staff members was actually from the Philippines, and so he led a team of 18 of us to the Philippines. It was three couples, six kids, and six singles, and so my patience grew a lot with children. but it was, we've definitely faced a lot of challenges, but it was definitely worth it, and I would go back again any day. And so we spent, 6 weeks in the Philippines. We spent 3 weeks in Bukidnon, Malaybalay. There was another Bible school going on called, there's a lot of acronyms in YWAM, like CBCC, Bible School Course. Of our team, my team taught on the book of Ephesians. There's another team teaching 1st and 2nd Kings, and another team teaching the book of Deuteronomy. And after that, we moved to Coronadal City, and we taught a church there. I had the opportunity to lead a worship seminar, do radio ministry, talk on the radio and sing, hospital ministry, what else did I do? Hospital, jail ministry. Went to jail and got to lead worship, and our team got to preach and pray for people. We did the kids, did a lot of local outreach. Our last week we went to Manila in a city called Antipolo City, and we taught the actual belt teaching, just a very condensed version of it. I'll share a quick testimony from the hospital ministry. The leader Benji and a really close friend Bridget and I were praying for an older grandmother, and she was in the hospital for a couple days for lower back pain and right hip pain. And so, you know, we were just praying for her, and after we finished praying, like she like looked at us and she's like, when you were praying for me, like I felt like somebody was. Like, she even, like, stood up and, like, thanked us for it. And I don't know what happened to her after that, but it's just really encouraging that God can use anybody to really reach out to another person in prayer. And I just want to encourage you all that prayer is so, so powerful. I don't know, like, what things that you guys have on your heart, but continue to pray for those things and just really trust God and have faith. He has his own perfect timing. It might not be what we think, but he knows best. And so, I'll be sticking around after church, so let me know if you have any other questions. Sorry, I talked really fast, but thank you.
Just to remind you guys a few things about Grace. She's not a pastor or a missionary. She was EMT, and she was going to school for firefighting. She was going to be a firefighter, and that's her dream still. And she felt like God was leading her to do some mission work before she went into that. So before this trip, she went to Wisconsin, of all places, and she was there training. And then she went to Africa for same kind of outreach for Uganda, right? Okay, Uganda, Kenya. And then she got back last year, and much to the dismay of her parents, she wanted to go again. And so she really felt like God was calling her to do this specific school about Bible. And so she went to Norway and then went to Philippines. and she feels like she's called to go again, much to the dismay of her parents even more. And so she's currently praying about going back to Norway and actually being a staff there and perhaps leading a team and so on. And so, you know, it's one thing if I share, like I went here and did that because you guys, like you're a pastor, but I think it's really meaningful when someone like Grace, you're 25 now, 26, you just became 26. She's 26 and she's doing these things for God. I think that just shows that anyone could really go and do these kind of stuff. And especially since, I think for the first time, if not ever, in our church, we have some trips that we're preparing for ourselves. I want to challenge you guys to seriously consider going. Okay, thank you so much, Grace. And she'll stick around if you guys want to talk to her. You guys are more than welcome to talk to her. She's really, really cool. All right, let me pray, and then we'll go into today's message. I just want to thank you so much. We just want to ask, oh God, that you open up our hearts and our minds, help us to understand what you want us to understand. And Lord, you have this power to take one message and make it into many different messages for each of us. And I think every single one of us, God, we need to hear from you. And so, Lord, can we hear something that only you could give? But thank you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's passage from John chapter 1, verse 1 through 18, is page 758 in the ESV Bible. The title of the message is God That Comes to Your Neighborhood. So John 1 is today's passage. I'm going to read it from the Message version today. So bear with me. You guys can follow along in the ESV version, today's Message version for me for the first time. It goes like this. The Word was first. The Word present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God, in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through Him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without Him. What came into existence was life, and life was light to live by. And the light blazed out in the darkness. Darkness couldn't put it out. There once was a man, his name was John, sent by God to point out the way to the life light. He came to show everyone where to look, who to believe in. John was not himself the light. He was there to show the way to the light. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world. The world was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. John pointed to him and called, "This is the one I told you was coming after me, but in fact was ahead of me. He has always been ahead of me, has always had the first word." We all live off his generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses, and then this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding. All this came through Jesus, the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, not so much as a glimpse. This one-of-a-kind God expression, who exists at the very heart of Father, has made him plain as day. Amen. When I was younger, I was in junior high. I think part of the curriculum is that during English class, you needed to learn about like legends. And one of the things I remember distinctly learning was about Greek and Roman gods, junior high. Is that true still? Anyone who went through? I just remember learning it sometime in 7th and 8th grade. And for me, it was really fascinating. I love learning about these gods. It was a little confusing because each god had two names, because one was a name in Roman and another one was in Greek. But it was just really interesting to learn about the gods that they worshipped back then. And one thing I learned about the gods back then was that they were like human beings. They were like human beings in that if they wanted something, they got it. You see greed. You see imperfections in their personality. They weren't always fair because they're not interested in being fair. They had power, and they chose to use that power for themselves oftentimes. They would manipulate people into doing things, and they would often use human beings as a tool to fight their wars, to make them gain whatever they wanted. And it was just really interesting because, for me, you saw characteristics of human beings in these gods. Now, another time I was studying about different kind of gods, and as you guys know, I love to read. And one of the things I was learning was about Vikings. I just love history, and so Vikings. And what's so interesting was their gods were very similar to Roman gods, in that they had gods, many, many gods that they believed in. God of fire, god of like trickery, god of water. And their gods were so similar in that they used human beings, in essence, to entertain themselves. And the pursuit of every human being was to live a life that was entertaining, so that their gods would bless them, and they would live fruitful lives. And for every warrior or Viking, their dream was to die with the sword in their hand, because they believed that that would take them to their heaven. And their version of heaven is this, very simple. You fight all day long. You're in war. You're in battle. And at night, you party, and you sleep with any woman you want. And you wake up every day, and that's your whole life, your whole eternity. You war with your enemies. They're going to be your friends. And after all the battling, you go have a party at night, and then you sleep with whoever, and then you wake up, and same thing over and over and over again. And they do have a hell, but, you know, very few people went there. But their god was like that too. A god that was there, they believed in their omnipotence, their power, but they knew that their god was using them for whatever means that they needed them for. You know, it's just interesting to look at all these different kind of gods that we worship. I study a little bit about religion, and so I learned a little bit about the god that Jehovah's Witnesses worship, Mormons worship, Muslims worship. There are similarities. But they all seem a little different from the God that we worship as Christians. And I think the thing for me that strikes me as one of the fundamental things that are different is that our God came into our world. And the reason why he came into the world was different from the Roman gods that I used to study. When they came into the world, they had their own selfish motive. They had their own desires. They wanted to come and accomplish their own fulfillment of whatever reason that they had. But in this passage, I love this phrase, verse 14, for me, in Message Bible, it says this: the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And neighborhood just simply means where we live, moving into the neighborhood. And it always reminds me of stories that I used to hear about missionaries. You know, their goal is to what? Not live here, but to move into the neighborhoods of people that don't know Jesus. So they leave their friends, they leave their jobs, they leave whatever they have, and they go to where they're at, whoever them may be. It might be Mongolians, it might be people in Africa, it might be people in Afghanistan. But you are taking yourself from your neighborhood into their neighborhood, because your goal is not for your own selfish desires, but for betterment of them. And you believe that you need to get out of your comfort zone and go into where they're at, so that you could communicate and share your story and be more effective in sharing the love of God with them where they're at. So you eat their food, you live their lifestyle, you follow their cultural customs, so that you could meet them where they're at. And when I read this, that's what I think about Jesus. Jesus left his godhood and came into our world so that he could come into our neighborhood. And that means for me, he came into a being where I could understand him even as a Korean person. I could understand him as a young person growing up in America. That he came into this world so that somehow, even though he lived in this one specific time as one culture, it transcends those things. And his message transcends all those barriers. And I've seen this happen over and over again, you know. I've seen people who are gangsters come to know Jesus Christ because he was able to go to their neighborhood and break down whatever barriers that they had. I've seen people go into different cultures, African-Americans, white, black, you know, just whatever it might be, they're able to go, and Jesus is able to translate into their neighborhood and meet that. Because he calls his church to be like that too. Whether we realize it or not, we serve a God who left his comfort zone, his throne, and came into our neighborhood, so that we would get to know him, and that we would get to know his Father. And I think that's a powerful, powerful statement. And I challenge you guys, you guys could study, you know, many different religions. There are not many gods who are like that. There aren't. By nature, we believe that gods are higher than us. So we think it's natural that they do whatever they want, and we kind of abide by that. But we serve a God who came into our neighborhood to meet us where we're at so that we could have a relationship with Him. We serve a God that knew that we're headed towards this path of destruction, and He knew that the only way we could walk away from that path was for Him to make a way for us. There aren't gods like that. You study gods, you realize, no, we have to earn their blessings. We have to earn our rights to go to heaven or whatever. We have to prove that we're worthy enough to receive whatever that they consider heaven or a blessing or a gift. Our God is not like that. He alone had the power to change our direction, and He alone did it at the cost of His Son, a Son who came into our neighborhood. So, you know, when people talk about, you know, I believe in God, I believe in religion, I believe in a higher being, I think that's great. But I just want to say, that means a lot of different things, because there are many different higher beings that many different people in the world believe in. They say, you know, people who are Hindus, they literally have a million gods. I don't even know how you know if they have a million gods, but they do, right? And so, just believing in a higher being is not enough. What I want us to know is, know the higher being that we believe in as a Christian. And I want to say, He is different from other gods. You might not believe He is the only God. You might not believe this is the only religion or the true religion. But I just want to say, He is different in many ways. And one of the fundamental differences is the fact that He came into our neighborhood. He came into my neighborhood. And He's the one who drew me closer to Him. And He's still doing that today. For people who are Christians and people who are not Christians. He's still coming into your neighborhood. Sometimes we find that invasive. I don't personally like talking to people around my neighborhood. I'm not that kind of guy who brings a fruit basket and welcomes somebody who moves in. Can you guys picture me doing that? I mean, I can't picture myself doing that, right? I'm not mean, but you know, I'm like more of a private person. And so when people come into your world, sometimes they want to invade, right? They want to come into the circle that you have. And sometimes people have that perception of Jesus too, or religion. Like, no, I'm happy the way it is. I don't want God to bother me. I have a good life. I know that if He comes in, He's going to disrupt what I have. Like, at times I felt like that, right? But what He comes to bring is something that only He could bring. And what He comes to bring is something that every single person in the world yearns for, whether we know it or not. Only way that He could satisfy. And John, first chapter of John, is really a great, great narrative of this whole relationship with God and whole relationship with Jesus and why He came and who He's supposed to be. And if we get this, I think it changes the way we look at Him. Without Him, nothing was created. He was there from the beginning. He was God Himself. And He's the one who comes into our neighborhood wanting to change our direction forever. Easter is really about that. Easter is a celebration of the end of that life. Christmas is a celebration of the beginning of that life, when He was born and when God sent His Son to be part of our neighborhood. But Easter is also a perfect time to remind ourselves, look, it wasn't us who went to Him, it was Him who came to us. And that changed us forever. We need to recognize that. One of the things that I think always helps me is to remember the very first moment I met Him. Because it's always good to remind myself, right? And you know, Danielle and I always joke about when we felt like we knew we were going to marry each other. Okay. So I like to joke the first time we Skyped each other, right? It was, we had emailed for about a month, and, you know, I don't know what she was thinking, but she didn't want to Skype, okay? I just wanted to know if she was real. And if she looked like what she looked like on the picture. So, you know, I was honest, right? But she didn't want to. And so finally she said, okay. And I was on my phone. I remember where it was. I was in Pleasanton. I was outside of the Starbucks. Grace knows exactly where that is. And I was Skyping. I just had a meeting with one of my church members, and I was Skyping. And she was so embarrassed. She was laughing for, like, the whole conversation. It was for, like, 20 minutes. She was covering her face, and her face was red, and it was like, you know. Another thing that was on my mind was she looked so young. And I have forgotten how old she told me that she was. And I was like, I think she's like 22. And I'm like, that's just too young for me. But thankfully, she was only 80 years younger than me. You know, that was borderline. But I joked with her. I told her the moment I saw you on Skype, I think, was when I thought there's something there. Until then, I was like, Brazil here, what am I doing? It's online. What am I thinking? But that moment, I think I realized, I think there could be something serious here. And it's fun for me to be reminded of that, just to know our story, you know? Just like that, with God. It's important for us to have those reminders. Especially for those of us who've been going to church for a long time, because years kind of all mix in, you're like, oh, I don't know. When did I get saved? You know? It's good for us to be reminded, man, that day, He came into my life. And it wasn't an invasion. He came to change my life for the good. And when you remind yourself of those moments, you just the monotony and everydayness of your relationship with somebody changes. And God wants us to be reminded of that. And so we have days like Easter, we have days like Christmas to remind ourselves every year to celebrate what it means, but remind ourselves of our journey with God. You know, I have one challenge for us, and this is what we're going to do during the retreat in summer, but I thought it was a really cool idea. One of the retreats that Danielle and I went, the pastor friend of mine made everyone do like a time chart. And it was just like from the moment they were born till at that moment, however they were old they were, a lot of them were young, and she asked them to pick 5 moments in their life that stood out, for good or bad. So these people marked the timeline, and they had to put a star or whatever, those 5 moments that really stood out for them. And so some of them were like really high moments, like, oh, this is when I graduated from college. They're young, so they really have much. Others were like when I lost my father. You know? Just up and down. 5 defining moments as they recall. And they had to come up and they kind of share those moments with each other. And it was just really cool because we didn't even know them. But we could tell like many of them, even though they had known each other for years, they did not know that about that person. And it was cool because for some of them, they never thought about those defining moments, you know? So you live life, and you're like, okay, you try to move on. And it was cool for them to just have time to see what things really impacted who I am today. I think it's a really, really, really good thing for every one of us to try, especially I think for some of us who are older, because, you know, they're all in their 20s. They don't have limited time. But I'm thinking, like, when you're like 40, I'm 36 now, wow, 5 seems like few, right? What would I pick? And the reason why I want to ask you guys to do that is, how many of those things would be things about your relationship with God? You know? Yes, I think for me, definitely, like, my father leaving me was one of the things that changed the direction of my life. There. But probably me becoming a pastor was another one. And then me encountering God and so, you know what I mean? Like, it's good for us to see and reflect how we perceive our relationship with God. And I truly hope the moment we became a Christian was definitely a moment that changed direction. Not just because you're Christians and you have to say it, but because you see it in your life. Because God coming into our neighborhood should transform every aspect of our life. The way we think about money, the way we think about our goals and dreams, the way we think about our vocation, our families, everything should change. And so I want to just throw it out there, if you want to just try. Make a timeline from the moment you're born, the moment you are right now, however old you are, and just think about, if I had to pick 5 moments that define who I am today, that shape who I am, what would they be? It's just for you to try. I truly hope one of those moments was when you experienced firsthand Jesus coming into your neighborhood. Now, if you haven't experienced that, or feel like, you know what, even as a Christian, someone who's been going to church for a long time, I would not choose that moment when I accepted Christ, I want to just encourage you. I think there's more than. I think there's so much more, because Jesus not just wants to be somebody that you come to worship on Sundays, but He wants to be somebody who's there in your neighborhood, who's intimate, who wants to be part of your life, everyday sense, and help you to learn what it means to be a Christian and live with Him every single day, in your work life, in your family life, in how you view your future. And He has a plan for you that is so big and so amazing. And so I just want to encourage you. It's not that you're terrible or you're not where you're supposed to be. I think there's just more. So much more. And there's sometimes so much more that He offers that we just have not experienced because we never knew it existed. Maybe we just weren't ready. But I think many of us are ready today. Jesus is a God who comes to our neighborhood. He is different from many gods that people have worshipped throughout history, people who worship today. All we have to do sometimes is look up and just notice Him around us. And so I just want to encourage you to have moments this week to have some time alone with God. Ask Him to speak to you about some of the things I shared this morning, and I think He has some things for you. I want to challenge you guys to come on Friday. We have Good Friday service. Come next Sunday, a sunrise service, 6:30 a.m., I know. You know, I remember last year, I lived in Union City, and so I remember making that drive. But this year, God's so fair. I live right here. You know? That's one of the best things about my life right now. My work is literally 2 minutes away. And I could go home, take a nap, come back in church, you know, at work. I mean, it's just amazing. I know it's early, but I want to encourage you guys to come, and we'll have some worship time. And we do sunrise worship specifically just to remind ourselves of Jesus being resurrected. And so if you haven't experienced it before, come and just share in that time together. Let's pray together. I just want to thank you so much. I just want to pray a prayer of blessing for every single person here. The Bible says, Lord God, that you're a God who came into our neighborhood. You're a God who didn't come with your own motives. You didn't want to use your people for your own desires, but you came for their purpose, to help them. And you came because you knew that it would require your Son to come in order for us to know you better. Even though this is a true fact, some of us have not experienced that personally. Maybe some of us think that you're a God that people worship, but there are many other gods that people worship. But I truly believe that there are things that make you unique and make you the one true God. So Lord, may each of us experience you coming into our neighborhood, our comfort zones, and seeing you around our lives, and experience the fullness and the power of what that means for all of us. Especially during this week, I want to pray for people who have been walking with you for a long time. I think it's great for us to be reminded of our love story with you, remind ourselves of those moments where you made a significant impact, and just rekindle that feeling, that experience, oh Lord. So help us, oh God, to just really have moments like that. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll have time of offering.